Manuscript Releases, Volume 19, Numbers 1360 to 1419. M.R., Number 1381. The Evil of Selfishness. Harmony Possible Through Prayer and Focusing on the Cross of Christ. Written May 11, 1901, at Denver, Colorado, to Dear Edson and Brother Palmer. We have had an evidence of the sustaining grace of God since we left you. I slept well on the cars, and at 8:30 in the morning, we reached Des Moines. We found good accommodations at the sanitarium, but nearly all I met were strangers to me. The old believers, whom I had known years ago, were gone, and their sons remember me as boys when I knew their parents. The weather was wet while we were at Des Moines, but when we held meetings, the chapel was filled with people, and the Lord gave me a message for those assembled. I spoke twice at this place. Several ministers were present, and we are sure the meeting will be a blessing to those assembled. My message was especially upon the necessity of preserving unity and love, which at this time the people of God must cherish for one another. I spoke about the medical missionary work and the small sympathy Dr. Kellogg had received in his work. I asked them to compare the work he had been doing with the work they had been doing. All seemed to see that they had not acted wisely, and I hope that in the future there will be less friction. When we left Des Moines, I went with the rest of the party into a chair car. The car was heated, and though there was no smoking in it, yet the air was poisoned by smokers passing through, by their breath and the scent of their clothing and bodies. Soon the tobacconized air began to tell on me, and I became exhausted. They took me out of the car at once, and it was none too soon. For a time, I suffered severely with pain in the heart and palpitation of the heart. But I was made comfortable and lay down the rest of the journey in the sleeper, and felt grateful for the change. At 5:30 in the afternoon, we reached College View, where I was made very comfortable. Here, I met several of my old friends. I spoke once in the sanitarium and twice at the church. There was a large congregation at the church at every meeting. Many came from Lincoln and from other places for miles around, and all the available space in the church was filled. The first time I addressed the people, I spoke for about 1 hour, presenting the need of harmony in our work. It seems that there has not been harmony between the church and the sanitarium. I can assure you that I am deeply pained as I see that things have been moving in a kind of systematic discord. This service is not acceptable to God, and His name is greatly dishonored. But I am sure that the people will be helped to see matters in a different light than heretofore. I spoke to them about the matter of legal quarreling. This is disloyalty to God and disloyalty to one another. Much prayer and work in Christ's lines will cure the evils in the church. All dissension must be laid at the foot of the cross of Calvary. A clear, unobstructed view of Jesus will heal the existing difficulties. The heart will be softened and subdued as we look upon the wonderful sacrifice God has made in giving His only begotten Son to die for us. The heart will break with emotion as we think of what it has cost heaven to place the sinful race upon probation. No sin is so general as the sin of selfishness. It has hidden the Savior from our view. It is a root of bitterness springing up whereby many will be defiled. Were this obstruction removed, we would realize why the Savior was lifted up upon the cross in our behalf. I am so glad that the Holy Spirit can enable us to understand that we have been bought with a price. We are Christ's purchased possession, and we are not at liberty to allow the mind to become so engrossed with the things of this world that we seldom think of the marvelous manifestation of God's love. Christ claims the entire consecration of the whole being. When selfishness is cut away from our experience, what a change will be seen in our lives. we shall not then be at variance with one another. We will not forget that upon us rests the responsibility of rightly relating ourselves to God and to our Redeemer, who gave his precious life for us that we might not perish, but have everlasting life. Let us adore him who is our life, our hope, our eternal happiness. If Satan can keep the human agent intoxicated with worldly ambition and worldly plans, he is well pleased. We deprive ourselves of the greatest blessings by failing to cooperate with our Redeemer in seeking to raise the fallen race, by failing to be God's helping hand in the restoration of humanity. We are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. He has made every sacrifice in our behalf, and shall we not make sacrifices to show our appreciation of the heavenly gift? Ellen G. White Estate, Washington, D.C., May 12, 1988. Entire letter.